May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So on Monday, I began my day in my fuzzy slippers and my bathrobe with a cup of coffee, and I got onto my Facebook account so that I could relax and catch up with all of my friends and what they had been doing over the Easter holidays. And in between all the pictures of adorable children in Easter clothes and pictures of Easter egg hunts and Easter bunny, one of my Facebook friends, a former colleague from the jewelry industry, had shared her blog. And I read her blog, and it was about her conviction that organized religion was simply not necessary and, in fact, was a detriment for many people. It had been one of those weekends, I think, when she finally got pushed over the edge by all of those pictures and news coverage and probably a lot of the conversation that's been happening in our politics right now. And she wrote about how she had known many religious people, but it seems to her that they were good and kind and tolerant despite their religion rather than because of it. And I understand where she's coming from, because she was raised in a largely non-religious family, and she has lived in places and times when most of her experience of organized religion has not been that of welcome and love. She is a gay woman living in New Mexico and rural Wisconsin. And a lot of her experience with organized religion has been people trying to stop her from marrying the person that she loves. Her experience of organized religion has been people citing their religious beliefs to tell her why she is a sinner and wrong and is not welcome where they are. In her experience, organized religion is not the sort of thing that makes growing in love and tolerance and acceptance remotely possible. Her experience of religious people has largely been that their organizations are contrary to the goodness she sees in them. It was Easter Monday. I thought about it. But I replied. And I replied because I wanted her to know about my experience of what it's like to be in church, of what's good in organized religion. So I talked about the way the church for me provides a structure for relationships that help me grow in my relationship with God. I talked about the ways in which for me study and community and the scriptures provide a correction for those times when I am tempted to make my selfish desires be God's desire, about the ways in which in the church, in that organized space, I have come to know people who are models of selfless love, who have experienced profound failure and the power of renewal, who have offered me examples of courage and love in the face of suffering. I have talked about the ways in which the stories we tell shape a vision of the world that we share that is so much more complete and just and filled with love than the world I see sometimes in the news media or even sometimes outside my door. And I talked about how, for me, organized religion has helped me be a more loving, more forgiving, more tolerant person. And a couple more people then came on and shared their experiences in faith communities that had done the same thing. And along the way, in the process, Andrea commented, she said, "You know, Suzanne, you're the reason I haven't given up entirely on organized religion." She said, "If only your church were closer, maybe I'd give it another try." In our gospel today, Thomas hears good news from the disciples. Jesus comes. They experience firsthand the risen Christ. But Thomas isn't there. And his friends come and tell him this story. This wild, crazy, hopeful story. But nothing in Thomas's experience has made it seem remotely possible that it could be true. Nothing in what he has experienced up to then makes it seem like that what they are telling him could actually be the case. And his response is entirely predictable. "I'll believe it when I see it," he says. "I'll believe it when I can experience it firsthand for myself." And Thomas is blessed because he gets to. Jesus appears again a week later while he's hanging out with his friends, and says to him, "I get it, Thomas. Go ahead. Put your hands in the wounds in my hands. Go ahead. Put your hands in my side. I know, Thomas, that you really need this to be concrete and real, so do it. Go ahead. Believe. Whatever you need to believe." And Thomas's response, the first acclamation of who Jesus is post-resurrection. "My Lord and my God." Thomas needed the reality, the concrete certainty that what he was being told was real. Not just a bunch of words, but real. Most of us know people like my Facebook friend. We know people who have heard the words of Scripture, who have heard the words of religious friends, but whose experiences with organized religion make them doubt that those words can be true. Make them doubt that that can actually be the case. It is up to us as the body of Christ to make our faith so concrete and so real that they have the opportunity to experience what Thomas experienced. Not just words and a great story and something that they hope might be true, but the lived reality of resurrection faith, of people whose faith makes them kinder and gentler, more loving, more tolerant. That they may experience what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This, says Paul, is what we grow in when we are together in Christ. It is when we allow ourselves to be so transformed by our experiences as the body of Christ, by organized religion, that we then become Christ's hands and feet in the world. We become a concrete expression of God's love for everyone. And so many people are telling us, "Go ahead, I'll believe your religion when I see it in action." And that is our invitation and our call to be the body of Christ, to allow people to experience God's love so directly that they realize it is a real, powerful thing. We are called to be so filled with the Holy Spirit, so overflowing with God's love, so transformed by the power of the resurrection, that when we hold out our hands to the world, they are able to believe. Amen.